3-1 down, 7 minutes to go. How on earth are they going to pull this back? They've been playing shockingly for the whole game. 3-1 down. I don't see a chance of them pulling this one back. Your head is in your hands. I won't mention any teams. You know who you are. Love this picture. This was in my grandparents' house as I was growing up. Two little farmers. A friend. I'd known him all my life. But when the pressure was on, I just wasn't there. I was so caught up in my own situation. And I don't think this is going to go well. I can't see how I can pull this one back. It looks like it's over. My mum is a very keen gardener. They've taken to going away and given us responsibilities. How on earth is this going to pan out? I think we know. It just seems impossible. Yet this morning, we're looking at a story that just seemed impossible, and yet it is infused with hope and life and meaning and planning, and it's in God's hands, and Tim is going to take us through it. But first of all, we need your help, because there are clues hidden around this building in yellow eggs. Yellow eggs. If you can find those clues, please, and bring them up to this table, we'd be much appreciated. Well done. Bring them up, bring them up, bring them up. Well done. Get it on the table. Can you find them? They could be in the back hall. Oh, right. Good find.
We've got number one. We've got number nine.
Hello.
Is that number six? Or is that number nine? Number nine is empty. Yes. Great. We've got number five. One, two, three. Oh, we're looking for number four. Oh, number seven. Let's put that there.
Bring him up.
Okay, there's two more. We're looking for number four. We're looking for number eight. Oh, yes.
Number four has been investigated.
Keep them secretly shut.
Oh, yes.
Bring them down here. Fantastic.
Fantastic. Get on there.
Great. Oops. Oh, number eight. That's brilliant. Should we put number eight up here? Oh, thank you, guys. This is great. Great. Now, could you stay to help me, do you think? To help look inside. What's inside? Let's start with number one, shall we? Let's start with number one, and let's go down the line. What's inside? A donkey. So last weekend, we reminded about Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem when everybody thought, this is the king, this is the Messiah. But how are they going to treat this king? What's in number two? Oh, some bread and a cup. It's real life bread. And there's a cup of wine. Jesus shared communion with his special friends as a reminder, as a symbol that he was going to go to the cross. What have we got on the next one? What's in there? Is that a bag of money? Is it real money? Is it? It's real money. Wow, flip. Right. Jesus was betrayed by his closest friend for money, given over to the authorities. And what were they going to do with him? Shall we open number four? What's inside? Oh, there's a picture. Do you want to open up the picture? Should we show it to everybody? It's some praying hands. And so we were led with Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane where he prayed. And I said, God, do I have to go, Father, do I have to go through this cross? Do I have to die for everybody? Is there another way? And he prayed. But he said, not my will, God, but what you want to happen. Should we look in the next one? It's another picture. What have we got? Are you ready? Yeah, I did such a good job. Is it open up this way? That's right. a no or a yes? Did you do a yes? They were judging Jesus. Is he guilty or do we accuse him? And they saw, they judged Jesus to be guilty, even though he was innocent and he was right. And so what happened next? Let's go to, what have we got here? You're only going to get out of the cross. Do you want to hold the cross up so everybody can see? And there were some nails, which were reminded on that Passover night that Jesus was nailed and killed at that cross for us. And that's what we're reminded about at Easter. So what happened next, though? What happened next? Should we go to egg number 7? A crown. And as he hung on the cross, they put a crown on his head to mock him. So you thought you're a king, you're supposed to be a king, and they were mocking him about, you're just dead on a cross. How can a king, meant to be a king, die in such a humiliating way? And they mocked him with the crown. But what happened in number 8? Let's see. A stone. Yeah, do you want to hold that up for everyone to see? There was a stone which symbolizes for us today that Jesus, by his close friends, were taken off the cross and was buried in a grave. He was placed in a tomb. But what about egg number 9? Do we open it?
No. No. Hold on there. You've done such a good job.
Let's just hold on to it. Let's just keep it. Because I think something special about this.
We're going to save this one. Have you done all these?
I know. Oh, round of applause to my assistant.
So, what must it have been like to have spent 3 years with Jesus as his close group of friends? Your whole world has been transformed. Your whole worldview is different. Your perspectives have been blown open as you've seen Jesus do incredible things. You live moment after moment of just seeing the impossible. And hearing God's words and wisdom and seeing Jesus heal people, feed 5,000 people, calm storms just with his word, raise Lazarus from the dead. I imagine conversations in the evening would have been a bit lively. So we have this group of people that have seen and done incredible things. And he says, who do you think I am? And they say, surely you are the Son of God. The God who always did amazing, incredible, unexpected things. A God who, when the Israelites were up against it with the army behind them and the sea before them, parted the sea. They didn't see that one coming. A God who, when someone disobeyed him, swallowed in a fish and redirected. He did not see that one coming. A God who always does things that we don't see coming. So they've lived these moments, and actually our lives are filled with moments. Can I have my first slide? I've read a book recently. It's called The Power of Defining Moments. Because actually in our lives are filled with moments. Our lives aren't just flat. Our lives have positive moments. They have peaks. They have negative moments. They have pits. And some of these moments are defining for us. But they're absolutely filled. If you just talk to the person next to you, can you think of one key moment that you've been through this week? Off you go, you've got 30 seconds, that's it. A key moment from this week. Thank you. So you've all, from the sound of it, you've all had moments this week. Now, defining moments, they say, need to be recognised, they need to be celebrated, and they need to be created, meaningful moments in your lives and others. And they have three, well, amongst others, they've got three things, and maybe some of yours included these. They engage the senses. They kind of magnify it, so it could taste amazing, sound incredible. What you see is stunning, blows your mind. I wonder if any of your experiences this last week engaged your senses, could have raised the stakes. You know, the kind of thing where the pressure is on, the butterflies are there, the palms are sweaty because the pressure is on, the stakes are raised. Often key moments have a moment of raising the stakes. Or it could have broken the script. Now what this means is that when situations are happening in your life, you fill in the information, you write the ending because you've done it 1,000 times before. So if I told you I went to McDonald's, you can picture that. Oh yeah, probably had Big Mac fries. Maybe had a short milkshake, I don't know. You went through the drive-thru, but if you did, I can picture it. We went and sat down. I can imagine it. There's children's, the screens, the noise, the buzz, the busyness, the service in about 5 minutes, the number on the screen. You can picture it all. If I said I went to McDonald's and the waiter was amazing. He had a bow tie. And he had that band that came with him and he played around our table and it was incredible. Oh, and the attention to detail. And Helen had le crouton avec le duck à l'ange. And I had the aubergine stuffed and marinated. Oh, and it was incredible. You'd be like, what the heck? That completely broke the script in my head. I did not see that coming. And actually, key moments often have this breaking the script. So if I had an egg, oh, it just happens I do. Take said egg. You know what's going to happen if I hit this egg with this racket. Your head is already ahead. You know exactly how this is going to play out. This could play out very badly for the front row. So you've... Do it. There's been a badminton group. I need to make sure I don't miss this. So if I throw this up and whack it, we know what's going to happen, yeah?
Oh, no!
I was aiming for the table. None of you expected that. You're laughing a bit too hard, you. Here, catch this. He wasn't expecting that.
I'm gonna come back to you.
That one. Are you on to me? That one might have been a trick one. So, they have those three elements. And we have, and I don't know, some of you, all kinds of moments that you've experienced in this room in your life. And some are more significant than others. Some just go into the everyday, but some stand out because they have these elements. And the disciples' lives were filled with these over 3 years. Absolutely packed full of them. And then they have this moment. We have these events unfold and everything seems to go. Can we have the next slide? Everything seems to just, they just don't know what's happening. Filled with sensory overload. They see their friend, their Lord, their Savior. Tormented and praying in the garden. Willingly taken to the cross. Crucified. Full of senses overload. What an incredible moment, but not a peak moment. It's a pit moment of despair. What is happening? Raise the stakes. Well, the stakes were raised. We will never abandon you, Jesus, they said. Not I. But when the stakes were raised, they split. They fled. They hid. They cowered. They denied. And now the guilt. Their Savior has been tried and they were nowhere near. And now they're in despair. But they've forgotten one very key element of a defining moment. They've forgotten about the God who breaks the scripts, the God who does the unexpected, the God who his plans are high above our plans. Their situations seem dire, and they've seen Jesus do it throughout their 3 years. But now, when they face the pressured situation of despair, they forget that God is a God who breaks the scripts. Things don't. Do you reckon we do this?
feel I can get it right this time.
You only got to give it to me.
Might as catch it. Things don't go as they expected. Although you probably knew I wasn't going to shower you all with egg. Well, maybe some of you did. The tomb was empty. Jesus is alive. Hope is here. The situation is blowing open. God is a God who breaks the script. God is a God who does the impossible. And when we face these situations, do we remember that we have a living God? The God of the Bible, the God of the Old Testament, the God of the disciples is our God. This situation that I led you through, the person who's telling me about their application form, he just knew that job was his. He felt God say, apply for it anyway. And he applied for it. And the church said, you know what, we did those interviews, but we knew none of them were the right person. We believe you're the right person. God has sent you to us. And he got the job. It seemed like it had gone. It seemed like he'd left it too late. But it wasn't over. The football match, 3-1 down. We have seen dramatic comebacks. They are the best games. When it doesn't seem like it's possible, when it seems like we know exactly what is going to happen, and then something breaks the game wide open. 4 years ago, I was farming. 4 years ago, I felt God tell me that I would not be farming for much longer. Yet I was in a situation that I could not see how it could alter. People were dependent on me. It was a family farm. And I even felt God tell me by Easter, there'll be something happening. And I just dismissed it. How can that possibly happen? Does God not realize the situation that I'm in? How is this going to play out? Like that, the situation changed. Because God is a God of the impossible. And when God's plans, when he has his plans, and we are open to his plans, God is a God who changes lives, events, circumstances. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a relationship in your life where things just have been bitter, where things have gone wrong. I share this relationship. Three simple words, I am sorry, changed everything. And actually, God working in and through relationships to restore, to mend, to heal, they can be the most painful things in our lives, yet we need to trust them to God. It's green. There is hope. Maybe not for this one. But maybe God brings lives into situations that we write off. So are we like the disciples? Do we forget that God is a God who breaks scripts? Or can we remember the God that we serve, a living God who brings hope into situations? Tim, I'm going to hand that over to you.
Richard, thank you. Peter, one of Jesus' really close friends, was one of the first ones to get to that empty grave on that Easter morning. And this is what he wrote when he was looking back on his life and writing a letter at the end of his life. And he simply said, "Praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great, incredible mercy, he has given us new birth." What does new birth mean? A new beginning and a new start into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus and the dead. From the dead. Jesus wasn't doing this for himself. He wasn't coming back to life from himself. He is life. He was doing it for you. He was doing it for me. He was coming back to life to give us life where there was no life. He was doing it to give us hope where there is no hope. He was doing it so where we are in sickness, we could experience healing, where we could experience reconciliation back into a friendship with him. And we now see life through the eye of hope because of the God who has done something ultimately impossible on our behalf. He has freed us from death. He's freed us from our selfishness and our self-centeredness that was gripping us like a cancer, and he has broken us into a new way of living that we can receive through what Christ has done for us at the cross. A new start, a new beginning, an assured future, even through pain and uncertainty. Life needs to be ruled by self-centeredness or fear or greed, because we've been given hope in a new way. And I'd love to introduce you to my friend Paul. Paul, can you come and share? Paul wants to come and share. Well, actually, I asked him, but he was just sharing with us what can happen when we open our lives up to God and some of the change that can happen. Paul.
Well, what can I say? Years before, I had a lot of issues, mental health problems. So I went into loads of stuff I shouldn't have gone into. Praising the Lord, and kept on going past it for months and months. And then suddenly, I was felt pulled in by God. God pulled me in here. And I met my new family here, and it's been very good, and it's good to have people on board, and we're all in one family with one church. Obviously, we're praising the Lord, praise God for that. And then the Alpha course came up, and I was still having niggles in the mental health state at the time of doing the course, but every course, every segment of the course opened new boxes for me, because I was having a lot of problems. And I felt my bad problems were in the boxes, but I seem to see a lot more good in every box of the segment of the Alpha course. And it's changed my life. And Jesus has, like, helped me with my mental health a lot more. And I feel buzzing with Jesus, you know. And not just that. With my mental health team, my doctors, and all those that helped me, my psychiatrist said to me one day, he said, "Why are you so cheerful for a change?" Because normally the appointments get a bit erratic, you know. And he kept on saying to me, what's made you like this? I said, "Church." He said, "Where'd you go?" I said, "Went to HCC. "Oh, right," he said. So he was really happy. He couldn't believe the changes in me since I've joined the church and met a new family. And I'm not thinking of all the negatives anymore. I got the positives in me now. But I just want to say thank you for the whole church and the ministry and the prayer I get from everybody here. And praise the Lord, Jesus is alive. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, mate. Paul, who was also massively impacted by Jesus Christ, he wrote that Jesus died for all, that those who live shall no longer live for themselves, but shall live for him who died for them and was raised again. Look, there is a new hope to live for. And I'd love to invite all of us today to live into an intimacy of a relationship with God, this resurrected King, the Jesus Christ, who Richard has been explaining to us today, that there is hope and new life. And that Jesus never promised that our life would be easy. He never promised that life would be perfect, right? He never promised that suddenly, if you give your life to Jesus, you'd all be magic. It's like we will walk through pain. We will still have questions. But the difference is that we are not walking alone. We walk with the God of the impossible, and who the God of love and the God who's with us. And I'd love us to finish today with a time of just thanksgiving. I want to invite the band back. And for us to celebrate this new hope and a relationship with God and the intimacy that we've experienced because of the resurrection of Jesus and the new life and the new start he brings. Shall we stand together?